Book of Acts chapter 11 tonight, and the first time in the Bible, and you ought to know this, first time in the Bible the word Christian is even mentioned is Acts chapter 11. I'm going to be talking about prayer and fasting some here in the next, not tonight, but Sunday probably. And all y'all that's up here in the choir, please go with us Saturday night. For some reason I feel like it's slipping your mind. Is that my imagination? Okay, I'm going to keep reminding you. All right, we have a very special announcement to make. Today is Miss Desi's birthday. Am I right? And she is 28 or 29 and 1. I can't remember which. 20. It's like that one old guy said. He said, I'm celebrating my 30th anniversary of my 39th birthday. Huh? Today's your birthday too, Lorraine? Are they twins? All right, let's sing happy birthday. Come on, Lucas, you got to help me. I need help. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Can't hear you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Desi and Lorraine. Happy birthday to you. Let's give them a big hand. Woo! I don't know what we'd do without you. Amen. Amen. We appreciate Miss Desi and Miss Lorraine too. She's a prayer warrior and a shouter, and Miss Desi's gold fingers. And I'm telling you, I don't know what we'd do without them. Really, I don't. And we love them and appreciate them. Amen. Talks cheap. Give her $20 after service is over. Amen. We love Miss Desi and Miss Lorraine. Hallelujah. And she's in charge of the cooking out of that camp meeting and done that youth rally. And I tell you, you got to have people in a church that's willing to work. You've got to. It cannot be done with one person. Like they said, like that turtle on a fence post. Somebody said they was walking down the street one day and they saw a turtle on a fence post, on top of the fence post. And a man came by and they said, isn't that the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life? And he said, there's one thing for sure. He didn't get there by himself.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get there by himself. And every preacher needs to know that. And every church, you don't get there by yourself. You got to have help. You can't build a church by yourself. You have to have help. No preacher can build a church by himself. You got to have help. And I praise God for the good help of God. All right, let's look at Acts 11:26 tonight. And you know this verse. It says, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. First time in the Bible the word Christians mentioned. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Derek, one of y'all, I think the word Christian is only in the Bible two times. Three times. All right? Only three times. Over in 1 Peter, second, twice over there, and then here. The word Christian, you'd think it'd be in there 100 times, wouldn't you? This is the first mention of the word Christian. And so tonight, let's talk about what a Christian is and what a Christian ought to be, what we ought to be as Christians. That word Christian's thrown around pretty loosely nowadays. Every Hollywood movie star and every politician, they're all Christians. Hear them tell it. But in the biblical sense, a Christian is a person who followed Christ. Christy, a little Christ. And they here in Antioch, they acted so much like Jesus. They talked so much like Jesus. They walked so much like Jesus. They got the nickname Christian. Christian. Nowadays, everybody and their grandma is calls that name if it's advantageous for them to get elected or to get a job or to get a position. How many people, politicians, do you think just use that name Christian to get elected? Lord have mercy. I think every president we've ever had claimed to be a Christian. Every one of them. Couldn't get elected no other way. And so a Christian, in the biblical sense, please listen to what I'm getting ready to say. In the biblical sense, a Christian is somebody who follows Christ. Now, we say are you saved? You're a Christian. And that's true. We just we figure if a person's saved, they're a Christian. But in the biblical sense, please don't misunderstand me. In the biblical sense, you can be saved but not be a Christian in the biblical sense. In other words, you can be saved going to heaven but not be following Christ like you ought to, like they did here. Don't misunderstand me. We usually think they're one and the same. But sometimes we're saved, but we don't act like Christians. Amen? Sometimes we're saved, and we do things that are unchristian-like. So tonight, let's talk about a Christian and what a Christian should be. And there's some Christians that won't eat. That won't eat. Now, what do you eat? You eat the Bible. A Christian feeds off the Word of God. I've asked two or three people lately. They said, "Brother Danny, I'm having a hard time." I said, "You been reading your Bible?" And every one of them said, "No." You will not do good as a Christian if you don't read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. I don't care if you got 35 kids and work two jobs. You better make time to read your Bible. You cannot, you will not read. Listen, the Bible is my lifeline, brother. The Bible is what keeps me going. I get up every morning and I read my Bible. I've been reading over in Proverbs right now in the Old Testament. And buddy, every one of them Psalm Proverbs, it's just like eating food to your body. The Bible is like eating food to your soul. Now, if you take a kid and it comes in the house at 2 o'clock in the evening and you give it a candy bar, and it comes in the house at 4 o'clock in the evening and you hand it a Pepsi, and it comes back in there at 5 o'clock and you give it a bowl of ice cream, when it comes time to eat supper, that kid ain't hungry. And your kid comes out, you know why? It's full of junk food. Junk food will kill your appetite for good nourishment. Beans and taters and corn and meat. You know, you think, shoo, I don't want that. Here's candy. Now, what the devil's got is candy. What the devil's got is candy. He's got games. He's got the world. He's got music. Listen, that's why it's so hard for a lot of Christians, young people, to give up music. Man, you get out there in the world, that worldly music, it's got a beat. It jars your head. It gets down in your flesh. Loves it. That's junk food. That's junk food. And then you get in here and we sing, "What can wash away my sin?" And you're like, "Ugh, I don't eat that. That's mashed potatoes, man." But it's way better for you than that junk food of the devil. The reason young people have no appetite for the Word of God is they're eating the devil's junk food all day long. And the reason some church members have no appetite for the Word of God, listen, I've heard of these guys, some of you may have, that was in Vietnam or in the war and stuff, and they saw people get their arms and legs blowed off, and they saw blood everywhere and everything, and somehow or another it desensitizes you to where it's no big deal. And that's the way the devil will feed you junk. TV, 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 music, TV, music, 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 to where you don't have no appetite for the spiritual things. There's where you got to really be careful. And that's why we talk about music so much. Your music habits determine your spiritual temperature. The kind of music you listen to tells the kind of person you are. I got some quote in my rock music thing where he said, music represents the state of the soul. The music you like is a reflection of the condition of your soul. You like dirty music, it's because your heart's dirty. You like wicked music, it's because your heart's wicked. When your heart is right, you like clean music, you want good food. Our flesh is tempted toward wrong kind of music. It really is. It's tempting. But if you'll starve yourself from it, if the kids are, you come in here, no ice cream till after supper. No candy till after supper. No, then they'll sit down and they'll eat their beans and they'll eat the peas and they'll eat the mashed potatoes and gravy and steak and all of that. So you've got to eat. You got to eat. 83% of the people in America claim to believe the Bible. And yet the average American cannot quote two verses of Scripture. Let me ask you a question in here tonight. You don't have to raise your hand. I won't embarrass you. I probably should, but I'm not going to. How many of you in here tonight, if I said right now, show me a verse of Scripture about alcohol, could do it? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. If I said right now, show me something the Bible says about alcohol, how many of y'all could do it? Probably half of you couldn't. And the reason why is because you do not spend time in your Bible. You know about the Dallas Cowboys record. You know how many games the Panthers have lost. That one of the Kardashians just left her husband. You know about all that stuff like that. And you don't even know one verse of Scripture about alcohol. If it comes up at work, you don't even know a verse of Scripture. You know what? I was talking to some guys, some old redneck guys today, and they were working, and I talked to them, and they said something. I forgot what come up. Oh, yeah. They come up and said, one of them said, yeah, I was this woman, and she left me, and this old woman, I dated this other, and she left me, and I dated. And you know what I said? I always give them Scripture. I said, listen, guys, by means of a whorish woman, a man's brought to a piece of bread. And they looked at me like, what? By means of a whorish woman, a man's brought to a piece of bread. A whorish woman. What is a whorish woman? Did you even know that's in the Bible? They didn't. A whorish woman, it don't even say she's a whore, she's just whorish. She acts like it, looks like it, dresses like it. Amen? She's whorish. Now, don't sit there and act dumb, act like you don't know what a whorish woman is. We all know what whorish women. You know what they are. Well, she just acts like a little, you know what. You know, and she just dresses like, the way she dresses and the way she acts. The Bible says a woman like that will bring a man to a piece of bread. Take everything you've got. You lose everything you've got over a whorish woman. How about that Proverbs? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. How about that Proverbs over there? It says, look not on the wine when it is red, when it moveth itself aright. I've always believed that was fermented. I can't prove it. I've always believed that. I can't prove it. But I've always believed it said, don't look at it when it moves itself aright. When that stuff takes on a life of its own, brother, you better not look at it. Don't even look at it. When you go by the grocery store, don't even look at it. When you go by the wine section in a grocery store, said, oh, that's a pretty bottle. That's a pretty bottle. That's a pretty bottle. You just look like it's right here. Don't even look at it. Amen? There ain't no such thing as a pretty wine bottle. It's sent from hell. It's sent from the devil. They ought to take every bit of it and pour it down the sewer. Amen? They ought to open every beer and pour it down the commode. Say amen right there. Amen, brother. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. That's right. It's no good. That stuff's no good. It's the devil in liquid form. It's the devil in a bottle, what that is. Alcohol is no good for you. Alcohol is no good for you. And if the devil's got you deceived into making you think it's all right, little bit's all right, every drunk in the world started out believing that. Every drunk in the world started out believing that. One way you'll never become an alcoholic, don't drink. Don't drink. Guaranteed, 100%, you can never become an alcoholic if you don't drink. Amen. Do you know verse? A Christian that won't eat, a Christian that will not eat. Heard about these two old drunks, you know. They got in trouble one night, and they was up under a old building, and these hippies got around him. They was going to kill him or something like that. And I said, what are we going to do, man? What are we going to do? He said, we better pray. He said, I don't know how to pray. He said, well, I do. He said, you do not. He said, well, I know how. I can pray. He said, well, if you can pray, you better pray. He said, I'll bet you $5 I can say the Lord's Prayer. He said, I bet you $5 you can't. He said, all right. And they shook hands on him. He said, let's hear you. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. Making me to lie down in green pasture. He said, well, I'll be. Here's your $5. Neither one of them ignorant people didn't know. That ain't the Lord's Prayer for you that didn't laugh. That's 23rd Psalm. But you know, it's amazing how ignorant people are about the Bible. You know what's discouraging to me? I've been preaching since I was 19 and preach the Bible all the time, and people still don't know it. I'm telling you, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You've got to learn the Bible. Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah said, I found thy words were found, and I did eat them. Eat them. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. I did eat them. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible compares itself to bread and meat and milk and water and honey. It's a diet. Your soul eats the Bible just like your body eats food. If you're not going to feed your soul, don't feed your body. Make it a rule. If my soul don't eat, my body don't eat. Make that rule. Say, Brother Danny, I got to get in the morning. Somebody told me this. As they said, I don't have to have a big breakfast, but I've got to have something. If it ain't nothing but a Pop-Tart, I've got to have something before I go to work. Okay, that's fine. I'm not against that. You just make sure your soul gets something to eat too. Amen. Read your Bible. One of our church members told me, said, first thing I do is get up in the morning, turn the weather on. I know how cold, I don't know if I should wear a jacket or if it's going to rain. Read your Bible, brother. Read your Bible. First thing in the morning, you better worry about your soul. Get it in tune with God. All right, a Christian that will not eat. Will not eat. All right? Let me talk about some Christians that won't separate. Christians that won't separate. We as Christians are supposed to be separate from the world. That don't mean we're better. That don't mean we think we're better. That don't mean we are better. But we are supposed to be separate. I'm not one of these preachers, you know, that crams it down your throat, makes you think if you dress a certain way, you're right, and if you don't, you ain't right. I got better sense than that. But I do know, I also got enough sense to know there should be a difference in a Christian and the world. There's got to be. If you can't tell the difference, something wrong. If you blend right in with the world, something wrong. We're supposed to be separate. Here's what the Bible says. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what he said. Some try to fit in. You ever met these Christians that try to fit in with the world? Amen? I mean, you got these guys on TV and they're tattooed all up, you know, and stuffed up through their nose and everything, and they got their living Bible, and they say, we're just going to minister to you young people, and like Jesus, he's cool, man, and Jesus is cool, man. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make young people think that you can follow Jesus and fit in with the worldly system. And it can't be done. It cannot be done. Now, and listen, there's extremes on both sides. Them Pharisees, buddy, they dressed, their garments was to there. They had on all that garb, really, and they was wicked as the devil. But you cannot go along with the world. And I heard about one church not long ago that plays the old 60s music and people dance, you know, and everything on Wednesday night and everything. And they think, well, it's good, fun, clean. Now, listen, brother, I ain't going to get into all that. If you want to dance with your wife in privacy of your own home, that's between you and her and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Listen, we do not have to have the world's music or entertainment to worship God and have entertained Christians. Lord have mercy, people. What in the world wrong with us? We come to church to worship God. Like that one little boy said, won't you come to my church? He said, I can't. I belong to another abomination. And he didn't have it right, but he did have it right. Amen. Christians that will not separate. As your preacher said, it looked like they fell in tackle box. Face first. One guy said that girl's blue jeans was so tight. Some of her brothers held them like that, and she just jumped off the house and got in them. That's the only way she could get them on. And she had a nickel in her back pocket. You could tell if it was heads or tails. That's right. And And don't get me wrong, you can look just as wicked in a dress. I've been to them churches where all of them wore dresses, and you ought to wear a dress to church. I've been in them churches, boy, where they had on dresses, but good night, here's the way they had to walk. They were so tight and split up to here. And I heard an old preacher get up one time, and he preached on Slits Are for Sluts. That's an awful sermon title, ain't it? And boy, I tell you what, he got on it hot and heavy, amen? Christian ought to separate. Christian ought to separate. You can look wicked in a dress. If you're going to find some way to flaunt it, you'll find some way to flaunt it. But the Bible said we ought to be modest. Say, preach it, Brother Danny. Amen. Hallelujah. We ought to be separate. You know me. I'm not overboard on this stuff. I'm very, very well balanced. Very. Matter of fact, I'm a level-headed a preacher as you'll ever find. I'll guarantee you that. I ain't much. I got a lot of faults, but I'm level-headed. And I'm going to tell you, there ought to be a difference in us and the world. It's just the way we act, the way we talk. I don't think we should talk like we don't. You don't have to adopt all the world's jargon. You know, we don't have to say all the words that they say, you know, to try to be cool. I can't stand to see them guys get on TV and they're like, Jesus, man, he's like, I'm like toking the Holy Ghost or whatever. Remember that idiot I showed on here getting a toke of the Holy Ghost? That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy, brother. You don't toke the Holy Ghost. That's blasphemy. That's wicked. Amen. Let me just say another thing or two right quick, and we're going to go. The lady's going to have a meeting. Sometimes we get tangled up. We as Christians, we're tied up. Tied up Christians. Christians won't separate. Christians won't eat. Some Christians can't get loose. You get tied up. You do real good for a while, and then you get tangled up. The Bible said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We're supposed to not be tangled up. I know Christians that can't do nothing for God because they're tangled up with the world. It's this, it's that, it's Tupperware, it's ball games, it's always something. Can't even come to revival. I'm going to tell you, buddy, when it comes camp meeting time, you can believe whatever you want to, say whatever you want to. If one of my kids had a ball game that was during camp meeting, they'd miss that game. It ain't going to kill them. I'd get them in here and under the sound of that preaching. I think your priorities are wrong. I think your priorities are wrong. One man told me, he said, well, my kid has an obligation to his team. And I said, before your team, he has an obligation to God Almighty and his church. Amen. That's right, brother. That's right. We're Christians. You say, well, you mean we have to give up? I mean, we're not going to hell. What are we crying about? I mean, he saved us from hell. Are we that big of a crybaby to want to do whatever the world wants and go to heaven? Good night, it ain't going to kill us to give up something. Drugs? Alcohol? Let me warn you. I'm just shooting from the hip tonight. Let me warn you, y'all. It's real easy to become a drug addict nowadays because they're legal. It's real easy. I don't know of anybody in here who's doing this. I really don't. I know we have had some. I don't know of anybody in here who's doing this, so I'm not talking about nobody. But it's real easy to become a drug addict now, because their doctors prescribe it. Doctors will prescribe you heroin. Now, opiates, oxycodone, and all that kind of stuff. It's so easy to become a drug addict. Beware. Beware. Just as quick as that pain goes away a little bit, throw that medicine in the trash can. Get rid of that stuff. As a matter of fact, get rid of it before the pain quits. It ain't going to kill you to hurt a little bit. We're supposed to hurt once in a while. Medicine is okay if it's used when you absolutely have to have it. But when you start taking medicine just to feel good, you're fixing to mess your life up. You're fixing to mess your life up. I got a good friend of mine right now in another state. He sent me a text yesterday wanting to know if we could help him pay his light bill. And I told him, I said, I don't think we can do that. He's wasted everything he's got on drugs. Started out with a back injury, went to the doctor, they put him on oxycodone, then Percocet, and he wound up buying heroin off the street. And you know why? Because that stuff's so, you can't get loose. You can't get loose. I've told you about our little old dog, and I'll tell you about it again, and I'm done. We used to have this little bitty dog named Tiny, and he's a miniature collie. And my daddy found him somewhere. I didn't know what's the thing as a miniature collie. The thing wasn't that high, but it looked just like a regular collie dog. Big old long bushy hair, looked like Lassie, but he's only this big. And Tiny would get out there in the weeds and run through the upper behind Mom and Dad's house, and she had cuckold burrs all in her hair. And run through briars, and sometimes she'd come out there and be dragging briars that long, stuck in her hair of her leg. And I mean, it's pitiful. She couldn't hardly walk. Just beggar lice and cuckold burrs and briars. She's tangled up. And sometimes Daddy'd just take the scissors and just cut her hair, and that's the only way she could get loose. She couldn't get loose. And that reminded me of a lot of Christians. Just tangled up. Tangled up with drugs. Tangled up with alcohol. Tangled up with some kind of sin. Tangled up in an affair. Tangled up with somebody ain't got no business mess. And you can't walk. You can't enjoy life. You can't be happy. You're tangled up with the affairs of this life. Isn't that funny? It calls it an affair. Tangled up with the affairs of this life. You can get tangled up with the wrong person. You can get tangled up with the wrong habit. You can get tangled up with the wrong thing and just be tangled. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the things of this life. I'm going to stop right there. We got a lot more we can talk about maybe next week, but I'll stop right there. Anybody have a question or a comment about a Christian and what we should do? I'll tell you, one of the hardest things in the world